What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
Forever Dog.
Is Cat a Scream fan as well?
Yeah, well, I mean, we saw that. I couldn't remember if we saw the last one together. We did. It's like the only.
Tessa saw this one and hadn't seen any of the other ones except for the first movie.
Oh, wow. Well.
Oh, wow.
She understood some of the references in this, for sure.
Is New York still considered like a scary place?
It's funny. I was about to say, yeah. I mean, like, not to us. We've lived there and we understand.
Wait, you can't open carry in New York City.
But you're allowed to have a gun in your possession. Like, you can't display it, but you can have one on your person.
I can't just have it.
You can conceal carry. Okay.
Yeah, you can't be out of here like. Like you freaking John Wayne.
Well, it's still concealed. It's
still... I guess.
No, but
I
when there were all of those, I mean, there's always report. I feel like my last couple years in New York, they were like, yeah, there's a clown going around.
Wait, say what?
Do you remember the clown? I don't have any details know like what happened. So I don't want to speak like cavalierly about this. But, like, I just remember there being these reports of just being like, you have to look out for a clown. And it was just, they were real reports. And it was like, but yeah, oh, but that was like recent. That was like, I mean, recent. I mean, I guess now probably like
Well,
7 years ago.
I mean, people have said that it's gotten a little worse since the pandemic, right? Like, crime's kind of gotten up.
Because it was like empty. I think it's getting better now because I think it emptied out and it was just like no man's land for a while. But, matter of fact, I was on the train Tuesday, in fact. I'm going to the train at 125th, and there's a fight, but the cops were there in a second. Like, it was a fight between, I don't want to say they were unhoused.
125th.
Yeah, I mean, these were two unhoused people. Okay. I hated that they were black, but, like, they was getting it in. Like, like, you know when you're paying at the machine? I saw a body fly next to me. Like, I don't know. Yeah,
wow.
I don't know if he got shoved, but then the cops came really quick. And, you know, handle it. But yeah, they always have 125. It was four of them. I was like, yeah, four. You need one. You're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Four. Well, as long as it wasn't Scream 6. Oh, sorry. I should mention that sometimes I call police officers Scream. It's good that, you know.
Yeah,
they weren't there like Scream 6. Because here's the thing.
Okay,
the thing
keep is, going. Please.
Yeah.
Explain more. Melissa, to everyone, Melissa's back on screen because we all want to know where this is going.
Yeah. Because, you know, sometimes police officers, man, they be acting a fool, you know, and they think that they think they're bigger than they are, and they act like they're, you know, Team Scream 6.
Team Scream.
Do you want to try another one,
yeah.
Bray?
You know what I mean?
Do you want to just try a different one?
Well, you've heard of SEAL. You've of course heard of SEAL Team 6.
Oh, we're sticking with
this. It doesn't try.
The thing is, when black people see police officers, sometimes, you know, you want to scream. And especially, you know, if there was six of them. So I call them Scream 6. If I see six police officers.
Yeah.
You know. So we sticking with it. You stuck with it, Bray. Like that. Okay.
I feel like this is, I mean, not to give any hints away, but this is appropriate for what we're for the film.
Look, we know we gotta do it. So we're gonna figure out a way to force it in there. And we don't care who doesn't like it.
Great. What is happening?
Yep, that's exactly correct.
Can we start, please? Yeah. Can we please?
Let me tell you what I didn't do watching this film. I did not scream 6.
Are you done? Fully on board. I'm fully on board.
Are y'all gonna start this already?
I've never been more on board for
it. Yes! Let's start the show.
Jonathan Braylock, James the Third, Jerome Milligan. What more can I say? You know what it is. Black men can jump.
Black actors, man. Black actors. All right. Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
Who gives a fuck about the movies?
That's the line I picked. But now I'm interested in which one was
which line
the
did
right
you
line.
Want?
I Core 4, baby.
I thought that was cool
that he was that they wrote that for him. I don't know if I necessarily love.
Oh, I loved it. Core 4.
You don't like the Core 4?
I like the resolution of Core 4 in the film.
I don't like the resolution.
Well, I thought it was sweet the way I don't like that it happened.
I do not like the resolution. Let me tell you something right now.
What you about to say?
I do not like the resolution of the Core 4.
I thought it was a sweet shot. I liked the shot.
Sure.
I thought that was nice. Who gives a fuck about the movies, though, I also want to talk about
That's a fun line, I guess.
It was certainly a fun line, but exactly. Okay, fine. We'll talk about it.
I feel like y'all about to rip this movie apart, and I'm very nervous.
No. That's not what we're about. For those of you who don't know what we're about, we are a film review podcast, but we review the films of leading Black actors and also leading actors of color.
Yeah.
And also.
Scream
actors.
Six. And also.
Don't do this.
Who are actors of color on paper.
What does that mean? What does that mean? On color? I mean, on paper? Don't do this.
We're going to have to cut this. Some of this opening, we're going to have to cut this out.
Y'all are a mess.
This is what I did the last one. All right.
Who is a person of color on paper? Don't do this, okay?
No, it's just, listen, here's the thing. I think this movie counts for our podcast, but I was talking to somebody and they were like, you know what? I got to be honest. They had seen the movie. They were like, I got to be honest. I forgot this was eligible for the podcast. So I'm not going to say anything specific about anything. I mean, the show is called Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Melissa Barrera is of Mexican descent.
Yes, so she fits.
Her last name is Martinez, but she dropped that.
I will actually say, in watching this movie in particular, the fact that the leads are all POCs, it really made me have a feeling about the third act of this movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a really big, like, I was like, I'm having trouble. Anyway.
That's a good point. I didn't even think about that. All right. Think about that. And for those of you who are listening for the first time and you hear three distinct voices and you want to know which voice is which, the voice that you are listening to right now, that sounds like they could get, you know, they can get stabbed several times, but then be absolutely okay by the end. And you're looking at them like, how did they survive? And they're like, I just don't die.
Oh my God, I knew it was you from the opening scene.
I don't die because I'm too important.
And we kept watching, pretending like
to the franchise. That person,
because you have a weird reason why you're killing everybody,
Jonathan Braylock,
and it makes no sense. That's definitely Jonathan Braylock. 100% Jonathan Braylock. I agree with that one.
Every now and again, you just hear Gerard.
What voice?
I can't agree with it more. This voice,
which gets killed
like,
first?
You know, no, because we black now.
So real quick,
we black now. So you know, I get to be Randy, so I get to die probably in a third.
Who is the first black person to die in a film with multiple black people?
Randy died in the second one.
I know, but Randy too. We didn't get to the movie yet.
Because they were hating so much, and you're like, I don't know if I like this character. They got to die.
Bray, I already said my name, Bray. Okay? They already said my name.
Oh, sorry.
I already said my name. A jerk.
And this voice. It's James the Third.
Don't sound like that.
And also, that wasn't quite the Ghostface voice.
Neither of them were right, you know? Oh, yeah.
Who does the voice for Ghostface, by the way?
The same guy has been doing it for years.
He's great.
He is great.
He's really good. Really good.
What
Hold on, wait. Let me see if I can try it again.
Oh, it's his name is Roger Jackson. Yeah.
They did better sizing him, Ghostface, this time. Was it Roger? What?
They did. They did. They definitely did. There was like a tall, it was like, okay, one of these Ghostface is definitely tall, and one of them is not as tall.
Yeah. They actually did a good job.
They finally listened to that bit of criticism.
My goodness. I was like, when that last one made no sense. I'm like, this girl is 4'11". And she killed. I can never let that go.
She picked up Dewey.
She was the one who picked up Dewey. It didn't make any sense.
Yeah, it was cool in this one being able to be like, okay, that was this one and that was that one. Yeah.
So we are reviewing the film Scream VI? Scream 6?
No, I think it's still Scream. It's still called Scream.
No, it's called Scream 6. It's called
but
Scream
the 6. V and the... No, but I understand that like they have trouble figuring out how to write it, but like the poster... It's Scream.
No, the poster is
again.
Cool, but the official title is Scream 6.
It's Scream.
Yeah, they make the V and the I a part of the M. Yes, it's very cool.
We've seen two Screams back to back. Yeah. Scream and Scream.
I will say this right off the bat. I appreciate that this wasn't called Scream in New York. I appreciate that.
Scream in New York. Ooh, I would have hated that. Scream in New York? Were people saying that?
I mean, no one said it. But listen, can y'all start? Y'all dragging the movie before we start the movie.
We've already started. We're deep in it.
I haven't dragged anything about the movie yet.
You're dragging it. I hear it in your tone. Let me tell you why, Bray.
Did I drag anything about the movie yet?
Your octaves are up, Bray. Your voice sounds too energetic. James is excited. I don't like what the fuck is going on.
He loves Scream. He loves the Scream universe.
I love the Scream franchise. And I feel like James, me and James are two polar opposites of the Scream fan. And that's what
We certainly are.
I didn't listen long enough to, I forgot what your opinions on Scream 2022
was. We about to hear
was.
It. And I don't want to hear y'all. I'm scarified.
Dra loved it. Dra really enjoyed it.
I liked the last one. I mean, except for the killer.
So, okay. Here, okay, it's back. Okay, we got Melissa Barrera, Jenna Ortega, Jasmine Savoy Brown, Mason Gooding. The core four are back. Okay, core four.
I
core
like that they're, you know, and yeah, you know, they are the core four. They're calling it out, you know. And of course, one of the Meeks understands that they're the core four, like, because that's in their blood to understand movies on that level. And so, like, yeah, like, absolutely. Absolutely, core four.
Of course, Courtney Cox coming back to play, reprise the role of Gale. We have Skeet Ulrich, who's still there as the ghost of Billy Loomis speaking to Melissa.
That part, I'm not a fan of. I'm going to just be upfront about it.
And Kirby's back. Hayden Panettiere is back.
Were we any of Kirby, and let me tell you right now that Tessa said, who is that actress? And I said, I have no idea. I've never seen her before in my life. And as the movie went on, she said, wait, is that Hayden something? And I was like, Hayden Panettiere? I was like, and then I looked a little bit harder and I said, oh my Lord.
And I have to be, I mean, I must say that this was tough because they resurrected this character. And also didn't bring back Sydney because of like money things. And so it just feels weird, you know, to be like, they Hayden's in this, you know, you know what I mean? It felt like
this
like
is her first movie back in a minute. I think so. She probably was a little bit cheaper.
But exactly. That's what it's just sort of like, it's like, I like Hayden, but then it's like, oh no, you know?
Yeah, I get that. Yeah,
Too much is happening.
And look, Hayden, like had a rough go of it for a while. She had postpartum depression. She apparently was addicted to opioids and alcohol. Yeah. So, but she got work done.
Sure. I mean, potentially. Yeah. I mean, certainly the potential is there.
Certainly the potential is there.
It does seem
that way. And who knows? I don't know. She's only 34, 33?
Yeah, but you also never know why people are getting work done. Like we were watching.
I know people in their 30s who get it.
We were watching the Zac Efron show on Netflix, and this season his like jaw is like really like it feel and apparently the guy if he like fell, woke up with his whole jaw just like fucked up and had to get reconstructive it's this weird thing where
that's what happened to Zach.
It's like, yeah, wow, it looks like he got work done. Oh man, he got work done. But then it's like, that's why he got, you never know why somebody.
Yeah.
You know.
I guess that's true. Though, sadly, I feel like a lot of the times it's because of, you know, the beauty standards in Hollywood that mostly women, but also men, try to keep up with. And actually, Courteney Cox apparently talked about it because she's also had work done and like some of the regrets that she had about it. But you know, I never blame the people. It's just sad. It's just sad that the culture and the way that Hollywood works kind of like makes people like really try to keep up and like maintain their youth in this way that sometimes does. Like the other thing I feel like don't talk about a lot is the fact that there are people who get work done, but it doesn't look like it. And they just look incredible. And then people are like, man, this person still looks so great. And it's like, those people are getting work done, but we're not talking about it. It's just, we're talking about the ones where they get the work done and then it doesn't take as well, or you can tell because now it's harder for them to move their face and they don't have the same facial expressions and stuff like that. It's strange. And maybe it's just the fact that we haven't seen Hayden on screen for a minute since like Nashville, right?
Yeah, so. That's how I feel about the dad, but I think they tried to de-age him, so maybe that's why he looks a little different. Yeah, man, all this stuff is weird.
You know, they say time waits for no one, and neither should payday. To keep your money moving in the direction of your dreams, get Earnin'.
Earnin' is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period.
Yeah, listen, you know, when you get Earnin', you can have a little special night out. You can go to the movies. That's what I would do with some of the money I got from Earnin'. You know, maybe just take myself, get a big popcorn, the extra large drink, some pretzies on the side. Can't go without the pretzies.
Yeah. Okay.
Need them pretzies. You know?
Maybe somebody invites you to the Oscars last minute. All of a sudden, you need a tux. you know? That happens to all of us.
Yeah. That's a common thing that happens to everybody.
Listen, download Earnin' today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store.
When you download the Earnin app, type in Jump under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. Jump under podcast.
Subject to your available earnings, locations, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else. Like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week, we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
This movie, by the way, so far kicked off, I think it's the best opening for Scream.
Ever for Scream. Ever.
Ever.
Yeah, that would make
it open at 40, which is crazy. $44 million opening. That's impressive considering Neve Campbell's not in this film.
Well, the last one did well.
What about inflation?
The last one did well, but
no, that's fair. It was hype, fair. Dude. I think they, for real, I'm gonna be straight up. I remember seeing a trailer for it. And again, I know we get into it. I know, you know, our levels of liking Scream is different. But at one point, to me, Scream was just bad. But I remember seeing that trailer and being like, yo, Ghostface murking dudes in a bodega is insane. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's in the trailer?
That is cool. That is in the trailer, and that is cool.
Damn, that was a fun surprise for me.
But to me, I'm like, yo, thinking about him on the subway and like, what is that like? I'm like, oh, this could potentially be fun.
Yeah, I remember seeing them pick up Mindy in the like teaser trailer, and I was like, oof. And I was like, oh my God. You know, like, and that doesn't happen until later in the movie. It still was satisfying to see Mindy as it was happening, but it was like, yeah, a lot of spoiler. That's a huge, I feel like the bodega is a huge spoiler in terms of.
It is kind of a huge spoiler, yeah. But it did make me go, ooh, this movie's going to be really good.
Yeah,
It looked like it was intense to me. I'm like, let's go, baby.
It helped. And here's the thing about the adjustment for inflation. It's like true, yes, like ticket prices are higher, but also there's so many more obstacles for people going to see a movie theater. I think it balances out. You know what I mean? You know, it's like, it's so much easier for people to just stay at home. The movies come out on demand within like 3 months of it coming out in theaters. And also you have so many viewing options at home. You know, I don't know. It just feels like $44 million opening in March for a Scream movie feels impressive.
Yeah. And to the credit of this movie, which they said, you know, like they're a franchise now. And if they follow in you know, Fast footsteps, they're just going to keep, you know, hopefully keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger each time. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not quite Fast, but
no way. But it could.
But it is impressive because you don't, very, very rarely does the sixth installment of a movie become its best.
Right. But that's why I was using Fast as an example, right? Because that
happened with Fast Five.
It's like five. It was like, oh shit. Okay, let's start going with it. And then
right. Yeah, and they've gotten bigger. That's true. Yeah.
And they also are doing
about horror films, you know?
Yeah. And they're also doing it without like a big name. Like Fast Five was like a whole revamp. It was like it had The Rock. That's when they started doing like, it was more like heists and other, like they weren't street racing anymore. Like they physically changed that whole franchise in that movie. This one is like, no, we've just,
Freddy versus Jason is the highest grossing Friday the 13th, which makes sense, but that's a crossover.
Okay, the requel for Halloween was the biggest opening ever, and that makes sense. That makes sense too, because that had that opened at 76 million.
Wow. Opened at 76 million. Wow, that's huge. Wow.
This movie, yeah, is doing very well at the box office. By the way, $22 million international, so $75 million worldwide so far.
Hell yeah.
Which is crazy.
Hell yeah.
I think it'll keep going up too.
And then Rotten Tomatoes, what do you think Rotten Tomatoes score is?
I think it's a positive.
I've
right?
heard people say that they like right. this one, that they like this one better
what
than
what do you
the
think's higher, the critic score or the audience score?
I'm going to say audience.
I'll say critics. This feels like a critics movie versus like an audience
wow,
movie.
Really?
Audience score is higher.
What is it?
77% critic score. So that's fresh.
Yeah.
Certified fresh, 77%. 92% audience.
This
score.
Makes sense to me. This makes sense to me.
Wow, 92
for even how I felt about the movie.
92 is pretty high in my opinion, but that's
like high for audience.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's that high. I'm not surprised it's higher necessarily than critics, but I'm surprised it's 92. All right. Initial thoughts? What is there to say about it? The core four are in New York.
basically, and they'd be hunted by a new ghost face.
And there's a new ghost face.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, that's pretty much all it is. I mean, I'll go first. I enjoyed this movie. I think there are certain things that I don't like, and you know, this movie will have spoilers. I think the suspension of disbelief when a person is stabbed is insane in this franchise now, because I just don't understand.
Yeah, they really doubled down on it.
Like, I don't understand. And I'm like, I could stick on that the whole time. If I think about it too much, makes me not like the movie. I will say I like the sisters. I like that we've again, I think for me, I'm more fascinated by how we're what we're going to, because it feels like they're trying to rewrite what the final girl looks like in one of these movies. So I think, like, you know, we've elevated, you know, when you look at like Truth or Dare and things like that, like the final girls are more like fighters, you know, like, oh, fuck this. This movie, we have two official final girls, which is interesting. And then also one of them who they potentially are setting up to cross over and be a killer at one point, which I'm like, are y'all keep hammering in on this. I hope y'all go through with it because there's no coming back now. So I'm curious to see where that goes. I do love that the core four are diverse people. I mean, you know, they are diverse. And also, you know what it is? It wasn't necessarily scary to me. I did think some of the set pieces were pretty inventive. Like, I like the bodega. I like the subway. They had one scene that I will spoil, so everyone please. It is a scene I think I talked about last time. Is I've always dreamed of a Scream movie, since we always know there's two killers, where we just see them both. Yo, I think they took the scene. Yo, they listen to the podcast, bro. They listen to it. I literally have said, like, it'll be a black dude, and he's, like, whooping the ass of one of the killers, and the other one just shows up, and it's like, oh, shit, now he got two of them. There's literally a scene of this black dude, like, kicks the shit out of one of them and is about to kill one, and another one shows up. And then, like, first off, I don't know how that killer got there anyway, but there's a scene of just two of them in the same frame, in the costume. And I'm like, yes, finally. It took you six movies to give me this shot. What happens after that makes no sense. But, you know, again, I enjoyed it. It's not better than Scream 1 or 2, but I enjoyed it.
So. They get close to that shot in 2, I feel, when we first see the second one in two, but I loved how they did it in this. Like, truly, like, yeah, that was a great setup.
Did you like it more than Scream 5?
Scream. Good question. I think I liked it because it felt like a true requel, if you will. Like, I feel like the Scream 5 felt like Force Awakens and like Jurassic World, where I'm like, oh yeah, I get why we have to have these characters. But like, once we got to the end of Scream 5, it just made no sense, because I can't get over that little woman killing Dewey. I just can't, bro. I can't let it go. And also their reasonings were pretty dumb. Whereas this one feels like more like a traditional, you know, James, and Corbin Rome, if this feels more in line with a Scream 2 reveal and a Scream 3 reveal when it comes to like who the killer is. So yeah, I think I liked it more than that one. I mean, they could be close to the same, to be honest. I'm not sure.
It's so interesting. So I'm just thinking, because it's like, it's so funny. I feel like I had the inverse experience from watching Scream 2022. And I had to listen back to our old podcast a little bit to remind myself of what my thoughts were. And my thoughts on that one for Scream 2022, Scream 5, was that I liked the characters. I liked the acting. I liked the plot moves. A lot of the plot moves didn't quite, like, I never felt like a scene stood out. And I didn't think that there was much tension. I feel like this movie, I feel like a few scenes really stood out. I feel like they did scenes really well. They executed scenes really well. The new actors didn't love. The plot moves were, and.
Oh, you didn't like it? Like,
I mean, I liked the reasoning, like the justification. Sure, I'm there with it, whatever. But like, I actually never, in Scream 2022, I legit was like, who is the killer? Like, I was trying to figure it out. I was like, it's definitely this dude. Wait, it's not that dude? Or wait, it could be two of them, but who is the other? Like, I was trying to figure it out, and I kind of cared about it. I don't know why in this movie, and maybe it's because of the opening, I truly didn't care who the killer was. Like, I wasn't trying to guess. I was like, whatever, they're going to tell me. I don't really care.
Like, yeah, I get that. I get that.
And I was like, the only way I will care is if it's like her or her sister. That's the only way that I care. And it wasn't, so I didn't. I think ultimately, I still had fun. Like, these are fun movies. But like, again, it's the same, exactly to Gerard's point. The stabbing stuff doesn't make, like, man, this movie will make a dude, will make someone think they can survive getting stabbed multiple times, like, easy. Like it's nothing. The idea that, like, these people aren't getting vital organs ripped up and slashed up or stabbed through is insane. The amount of blood loss that's happening is crazy. The amount of activity that people engage in after getting stabbed multiple times is crazy. And it's everyone. It's not like, it's like this movie doubled. This movie did it in the, for Jenna Ortega in Scream 2022 should be dead because of the beginning of that movie, but didn't die. She gets stabbed again in this movie, by the way, which is, but even that is more mild because they were like, you know what? We'll have literally everyone who gets stabbed not die like for a long time or at all. Anyway, I don't know. So that stuff was crazy and annoying. There are little nitpicky things that I have where I was like, oh, they could have made this just a little bit better. I think ultimately they used New York pretty well. Like there wasn't like too much lacking from that. I mean, some of the, you know, like whatever, it's a movie. Yeah, I liked it. I think I like Scream 5 more, weirdly enough. And I think it's because I liked the performances more in that. Not that I didn't like the core four are good. I wasn't rocking with Hayden. Like, I don't know. I wasn't rocking with the new characters in this movie for whatever reason.
They weren't memorable. You know what it is? I think you're right. They weren't as memorable. And even acting, I feel like two things. They didn't write them. They were, this Ghostface was going through people. First off, this body count of this Ghostface has like tripled any other Ghostface. Like this motherfucker was just murking people. And they were moving at such a pace, you didn't get to chill. And you know those little boring moments in like Scream where like, which one of, like it just is longer? And this one they were like, nah, fuck that. We're going for it.
I was actually surprised every time we did slow down in this one because of how fast Ghostface was moving in those scenes when it is happening and how quick those were coming together.
Right. It's going to be a black Ghostface soon. Watch.
The series was fun. The series was fun.
I never watched it. Oh, yeah. What do you think, Sean?
Oh, you got to watch it. You got to watch it. It's good. Here's what I'll say. This is my last Scream. I'm done. It's my last Scream.
No, stop.
Oh, wow.
It's my last Scream. I am done. I'm done watching Scream. I will not review it the next time we do it. So if we're doing it again, I'm not reviewing it. This is my last Scream. I almost walked out. There was a point when I almost walked out. Yep, there's a point when I almost walked out, and I'll say it specifically when we get to it. I almost walked out. I almost screamed. I almost actually screamed. I had to stop myself from screaming and walk out. I will say I agree with the thoughts about like characters in this versus characters in the first one. I will say that I had a better time in this one than I did in five. And then because of that, that makes me dislike it more a little bit because they pulled back on things there are things in five when they're like, well, at least the movie abides by the rules. That five abides by the rules. Whereas in this, in terms of like specifically the like supernatural element of everyone, like people not dying from stabs and stuff like that. And it's like the only rule that this met was the body count being so high. But like that becomes, I don't know, the meta things about this are all like theories about Scream itself, and it becomes not about horror movies anymore. Like it's like it's only referencing itself and referencing literal internet theories about Scream, and it's just like I don't need to see this anymore.
You're right. Like all the stuff that she breaks down of like anybody can die
didn't happen.
and then to your point, Gerard, to what you said, exactly right. The ending of this is exactly like Scream 2. Exactly, like even down to who the killers are, and then some of the reveals are like it's just stuff that happened in Scream 1, and it's like, and a lot of that stuff that happens in that final act was like fun for me after literally the point that I was about to walk out was like fun for me, and then I was like, but also fuck that for being, it's only fun because I'm recognizing something that I like from I'm recognizing a reference of the series that I'm watching, not even like of scary movies. Now it's like it's just self-referent, you know. It's weird. It's like eating itself now at this point.
I mean, I was saying that in fifth one, it was already starting to eat itself.
I mean, the first one, how it opened was insane.
Yeah.
But then in this one, it's like they went the reverse. They're essentially doing a combination of The Last Jedi and The Rise of Skywalker, where they're like, we hurt some fans, so now let's do a scene in the park, like in Scream 2, and then let's make them think that such and such is gonna die, but then they're not gonna die, and it's gonna actually feel like a Scream movie, which this one felt like a Scream movie to me. And then I was like, you know what? Fuck you, because you made me you made me feel like I was now in a new universe, and you put me back in my old universe. Well, which is like, and my opinion of Scream 5
that
was like,
that is real.
That's real.
That's very Star Wars. That's very Star Wars. Yeah.
I would much rather be in a new universe. I would much rather be in a new universe. If we're going to be in a new universe, let's do that. It's like,
yeah.
Anyway, I'm excited to talk about specific stuff, but like, and then just in general, my stomach for this is like one of the deaths, not related to like my feelings about like characters in the franchise or whatever. One of the deaths, I was just like, this is evil. Like,
there's a lot of brutality. Yeah.
Was the most brutal one. Well, can I ask, since we're starting, I forgot about it. I did like this opening scene a lot, but now hearing James do his reviews,
like the second actual, not the opening scene.
That was bad.
So this is my thing. The opening scene I liked because I was like, oh, okay, we are now doing something drastically different. I was like, cool. And sorry, the first part.
Yeah, you mean the whole cold open before the title, or the, yes, the reveal mid cold open? Cause that's what
the cold open before the title.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Cause basically like for me, I'm like, you know, it opens, we see Agent Smith's niece or something.
Wait, what? She's a, you know,
yeah.
You know who this actress is?
She's great. She's
a final girl. She's in
Samara Weaving.
She's in a good horror movie. She's like,
but
one
she's
of
also
those.
She's also Bill and Ted. She's young.
She was in Ready or Not.
Yes.
Ready or not.
So she's like one of the. She's like one of the new type archetypes of the final girl. So like I'm seeing her, I'm like, oh, break, cool. We know she's about to get got first. It makes sense. But to me, once we got the reveal of Ghostface taking the mask off instantly, I'm like, oh,
this was cool.
Yeah. And so I'm thinking we're going to be in a movie.
Yeah, that's true. Me too.
We're going to be in a movie where we know one killer the entire time and no one else knows.
We know who one of them is.
This was the first cool New York moment too. Not necessarily the alley scene. I feel like I've seen that that's straight out of I Know What You Did Last Summer and stuff like we've seen that alley scene before, but him taking off the reveal of who he is and then just walking down the street, I was like, awesome. They're really using New York in a really cool way. And had they kept him visible, like him in throughout the rest of the movie, that would have been a really cool building off of the use of New York. I still like it. Like, even though he dies, I still like it as an idea. It was like, okay, cool. That's the first like notch of like New York is really cool. And maybe even the Tinder date turning into
just the fact that he could just blend into the city so quickly. Yeah.
And you're like just passing this murderer on the street and like
it was unbelievable to me that this woman would run down a dark
it didn't
alley.
Make any sense. That
because I was like, she clearly sees that she can't see anything.
Maybe there's a different alley. So, you're looking down the wrong alley even.
Why would she run down this alley? Like, that doesn't make any sense. And also, I'm just like, if she thought he was in trouble, what was she about to do?
Yeah, exactly. Go back inside, get someone.
get someone, get help. Like, what are you about to do? What are you, even if he literally actually was in trouble, what were you going to do? Instead, what were you going to do? So I was like, this doesn't make any sense. She would never have left the restaurant. That woman would never, you're meeting somebody for the first time on a date. You're never leaving that restaurant. You're waiting for them to get there.
Or if they're late, if he's this late, and no offense, if he's that late and she's this attractive, that date's over. And he doesn't show up, the date's over, bro. You late.
The most she would do is step outside and try to wave him down. But you're not going to walk to an alley. Get the hell out of here.
But I do like that we get to see this reveal, and I like that we go home. The only thing is, even thinking about James's point, is like, it's so undercut because the moment he walks in his apartment, I'm like, well, he's not the main one. And I was like, well, you just took away the thing. Even before the phone call, I was like, the moment we walked away, I was like, this ain't the dude. Like, he is still part of the cold open. And I was like, oh, maybe it's his buddy. But I'm like, oh, nope, his buddy's going to be dead. And I'm like, all right, I guess
you
this
like,
is cool.
No, it's a shame that, like, they do a really cool thing, unlike we've ever seen before, and then immediately follow it up with exactly what we've seen before. But then the reason I use this line, the killer says, who gives a fuck about the movies? And I was like, interesting. but exactly, you do. You are copycatting, obviously, something that happens in quote unquote real life of this film. But then is based off of films and then was always inspired by movies to begin with.
Also, it's like both in the meta way you care, but also just in the actual movie character way, that character also cares.
Yeah. And it doesn't.
So what are you talking
about?
They never paid off
ending the cold open with who gives a fuck about the movies. Potentially the coolest idea they introduced after taking away the other cool thing that they introduced. and then they just don't even, they don't do anything with it.
I will say the other thing that was to me disappointing about that cold open was once I realized that this dude was going to die, I was like, at least give me the satisfaction of a killer who's being hunted by another killer doing something different than all other victims do. And he didn't. The fact that he didn't pick up a knife, the fact that, like, they had one very tiny moment where he was suspicious and, like, asked them one question and then they answered it and he was like, okay. By the way, we never I don't know why it was like, how did that person answer that question so easily? So, and if they could answer it that easily, then it wasn't that good of a question for you to ask. So, you know, I was just like, and it's fine. Like,
I think it's because, it's not answered directly, but I think it's because they actually were connected because they were like, we spawned these copycats and we had to stop them. So like they probably are on the black.
They were following them on the boards.
The black sites. Yeah. Like, and you know, and that information and stuff was being, you know, and even Richie's movie and stuff is being passed around on like serial killer networks. You
also,
know,
Richie you know? Was one of the dumbest villains of all time. And like, we're going to treat like Richie, even the fact that this movie is like, he is not Billy, bruh. Like he's not like when you watch the other movies.
Well, they
like,
did. She did kind of say that. Sam kind of said that. It's like your son was freaking. He didn't even. He had a little girl do most of the killings for him. I don't know. I would have liked them to at least fight, or for him to have picked up a knife, or I don't know. It could have been cool if he had kept the. If he had put the mask back on and we're seeing two Ghostface fight each other, I don't know. I was like, there were so many cool possibilities. And I felt like we didn't get any of it. Instead, like James said, we get the same kind of opening that
you
we always
set it up
do.
Though. Like, if he would have put that costume back on, because that performer is so small. And the one thing I will say about this Ghostface is like, this one was huge. At one point, this dude is big. And I'm like, if you would have seen them kind of like duke it out and then the bigger one prevail and just step over the other one, you know, like that would have just made him even more menacing. You know what I mean? If it would just brush something off and just like, you know, the Ghostface move when he just wipes the knife. I'm like, if he did that and just walked out the shot or that wipe would have said scream. Woo!
Yeah. Oh. It says they push in on the wipe.
Yeah. You like the wipe is the scream. Like, oh.
They'll do that for three. They better. Cause that's really cool.
I mean, also, what's so tricky is like, I kind of wish he still was in the movie at least a little while longer, mainly because we see him pass Jenna Ortega like on his way home. And I'm like, it's just something about seeing that dude openly be that close to her and have no idea. Like, we know, and we're all like, you know, and like anytime we see him and they're like by themselves, it's like you kind of have that would give you so much tension and. Yeah, then we get the sister doing therapy, which is fine.
Sister doing therapy and the therapist freaking out when he actually He's like, you're not opening up to me. And then she finally tells him everything. And he's like, I don't want to do this anymore.
I have to tell the police.
I have to tell the police. She's like, why? I didn't say I was going to do anything. He's like, well, you kind of alluded to it. Just please just leave. I was like, this is fun and real.
It is. It is like, I don't like this. And then the sister's at a party and we see everybody, you know, she's about to, you know.
They also kept showing how tall, how much taller she was than her sister, which I felt was purposeful. I was like, we saw that this ghost face, or at least one of these ghost faces, were really tall. And they kept showing how tall Sam was, you know? And I was like, oh, I think they're doing this on purpose for us. Except I thought that they were, but then they didn't try to make you think it was her at all, because she was always there.
So that's what I'm saying. I can't figure out what the play is. Because in the first movie, I think they really did a good job of making you think, oh, it could be, not a good job, but like, give me some breadcrumbs where like, oh, Sam could be kind of sketchy. And in this one, I feel like they keep trying to say, hey, remember when she was a little sketchy? And this one, it could be her. So I think what you're saying, Brad, is purposeful. So much where I'm like, this third movie, if she's not one of the killers in this third movie, I'm like, I don't understand what the point of all this was.
Yeah, you know what I mean? They set it up so well at the end of five that like the most frustrating thing about, or I've already said there's plenty of very frustrating things. One of the very frustrating things about this one is that like she only kills one person, you know, or two, I guess two. She kills two people, but it's like at the end, back to back, there isn't a build. It's just like, I have a gun and I'm going to shoot this one, and I have a knife and I'm going to stab this guy. And sort of in the same way that I stabbed.
And they're both still in self-defense.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And like, I don't know. It really felt like the way she hauls off on Richie at the end of five was clear enough. She spoke to a ghost the whole movie. We don't need like, and this suffers from what I think Jurassic Park Fallen Kingdom suffered from, even though it suffered from a lot of things. But it was like, we all knew we were doing Jurassic World from the title of the first movie. So the dinosaurs need to now be all over the place. In this movie, we don't need a movie building up to, like, why are you doing this other movie? Just do the thing you've already said. Anyway.
Yeah, this one was, so whatever. It's just not what they did. I thought that's what they were going to do, but they did not really make this about the killer. The killer's intention wasn't even to frame Sam. And because of that, we, as the audience, never ever felt like Sam could be the killer.
Well, the killer's intention was to frame Sam, but and also kill her. Kill her and also frame her.
And frame her for, and prove that she killed Richie.
But my thing was, it wasn't fully to frame her because he kept attacking her. It wasn't like people died. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
that's the king. Like, well, yes.
He was supposed to, though. He wanted... Oh, go ahead, James. Sorry.
Well, no. Go. You say your thing.
No, because he wanted to, because I think the whole point was like, he even said they were leaving the mask. Like, it was going to be her with her dad's mask and her sister. So it was going to be like, she went on this rampage after like, you know, her bloodlust from like, the other movie, basically. So he was supposed to, I didn't, you know.
Yes, but to both of your points, it makes it sort of impossible to watch the movie and track what the actual plan is. Like, there are so many times where it's like, well, then why attack both of them in public?
Right outside. Yeah, in public.
You can't attack both of them in public if she did it. You know? And then...
Well, obvious that she's not the killer because... Ghostface is literally trying to kill both of them inside of a bodega that for sure has security cameras. We don't see him ever disarm the camera. Like, he has to get out of there so he doesn't get caught by the cops, which is, by the way, a miracle that he somehow was able to escape.
And it's released, but it's also released after that she's still the prime suspect. But it's after they were very clearly in a public place being attacked by Ghostface. It doesn't make, and they never reconcile that there were or were not cameras. They just don't address it. And then later, similarly, there's a thing that happens where when Mindy gets got, spoiler alert, when Mindy gets got, when the person she's with, the one of the killers, goes to help her. And it's like that show is for in world to cover up that it's not that person. But I don't get why we see it, the audience. Like, I don't get why the audience.
Wait, who goes to help her?
The Ethan, who's also one of the sons. Like, I don't get why we see him going to help her. Like, they could have cut that scene before we get to any of that. But
wait,
like,
no, Mindy he's not in that scene. Remember,
he is in that scene. He grabs her and he takes her out, and she's like, oh my God, I got it wrong. She has that funny line of, oh no, how did I miss? I messed up again. You're not the killer. Like, she like set.
Oh, you mean on the train?
Got it. Yep.
They're like, there are all of these moments where it's like Ghostface has this extremely complicated plan, but then the way that we actually see it happening, it's like, this doesn't connect to what you're like, I don't get why it's happening like this and in this way.
Anyway. It's so funny because that scene was so, I'm going to be truthful honest. Like, some of this stuff, I think for me is like, when I first saw Scream, I was so young, you know what I mean? Like, and for me, it has a little bit of like a corny like disposition to me. So like at certain points, I was just like rolling with it. Like literally at one point, I will say the fact, and this, I chuckled when this happened. When, you know, they get home, we realize the killer's there. Sam has to go down to the police station. Jenna Ortega comes, you know, Wednesday's like, I'm coming too. Makes no sense why Wednesday's there. But they're walking and the killer calls and he just is chilling. Like, they're walking like down the street and I guess he was just on the stoop. Like, he literally was placing a phone call on a stoop and he's just right there and just starts chasing him. I don't know why I chuckled. I was like, yo, so bro, y'all telling me y'all the only ones on the street. And like, what was he in between? I don't know what happened.
Yeah, you did. How did you not see him?
Behind some garbage cans?
Something,
bro.
Something. But I will say, I do love this scene where they go into the bodega. Because the one thing I would say about New York, that I love about New York, that LA does not do, come from me, LA, is I feel like in New Yorkers will mind their business until something happens. And then New Yorkers are like, what the fuck is it? What is this? You know? Go ahead.
Is why I love the bodega scene, but I didn't like the subway scene. Because this bodega scene, that's exactly right. Some dude comes in with the ghost face mask after two girls came in and scared, and he's like, yo, what's your problem? Immediately gets stabbed. Fine, we get that, right? He gets stabbed, the other dude gets stabbed, and what does the guy behind the counter do? He doesn't run. He goes, I'm gonna take my gun out, I'm gonna start shooting at you. All of this is real. Love that. Like, that whole bodega scene was great. And also, it was
so tense.
It was tense. It was, yeah, that was cool. I didn't quite understand how he was able to escape through the back when they couldn't escape through the back. Like, he got out so quick. I was like, how did he get out so quick? Anyway, and it wasn't even it was the mask he was wearing. Yeah. But the subway scene, anyway, not to cut ahead, I guess.
No, please. But, I mean, it's nothing but killing, like, yeah, nothing but killing. Makes sense. Yeah,
so the subway scene, look, first I was like, okay, I literally went, I will forgive this movie for acting as if every single in-between stop, lights are going out on the same train.
That was killing me.
I was like, lights go out on a train between one stop for sure. But you can't keep saying that every single stop that the lights are going out and flickering. I'm like, that just doesn't happen. That just doesn't happen that consistently. But that's okay. That's fine. Who cares? Movie stuff. Lights do flicker on subway trains, you know, so that's enough to buy it. And I'm even fine with the way that it's like, there are all these ghost face things on the subway. She doesn't know. She sees one, then she doesn't see it. And you're like, oh man, she's about to get stabbed. I mean, I wish she had her guard up a little bit more, but fine, whatever. She gets stabbed. He covers her mouth so she can't scream.
She was like, she was looking. I was like, I don't know what she was going to do when she was. The moment they split her up, I was like, man, yeah, first off, as a New Yorker, and it's tough when you watch these movies, the moment that door, we know people jam those doors open so often. You know what I mean? And also I've seen it happen before. I've seen someone jump on like the back and just come through the emergency door or whatever. I'm like, she needed to get on that goddamn train. The one thing, Bray, so this is the thing.
She's not a New Yorker, though. She don't.
I mean,
have
they have
that.
Been there for a couple. You're right.
I'm fine with her not getting on the train. What was weird was her, even if she thought the other dude was a killer, I was like, why would you want him away from you? Because now that he's away from you, he can put on a mask and come at you. You want him next. I want that dude right next to me where I can see him so I can be looking at his hands the whole time. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want him away from me.
How was that even orchestrated? I get that there is... You can have service under the train, but that was entirely too lucky. Like that, like if you think too hard about any of the screams, I'm sure there's so many threads where like, how did they get there? How did they do this?
The brother does like step back a little bit in a suspicious way. So like
he could have counted the cars and like said like we're in this car.
It wasn't. Yeah.
I think
so. Exactly.
I've done that before. Like, meet me on the back.
I think it was luck that they got separated. I don't think they necessarily planned on them getting separated like that. Yeah. But I do think like he purposely stayed behind so that he was with her, and he could have been texting the sister or whatever. But my thing was, after he stabbed her, we get this thing where like there are people who are like not looking at her at all. Because
they're drunk.
You know?
They're drunk, apparently. And I'm like... Because
they're drunk?
So Bray, this is a scene I had a problem with. Because to me, this scene should have been chaos. Like, to me, it's like, the moment she was stabbed, it should have been like, people trying to... Like, to be truthfully honest, I wanted to see that bodega scene turned up a notch. I wanted to see, like, people be like, oh, shit. Because I've seen fights on the train where people rush to one end of the train and some people kind of try to stay back to fight it.
Exactly. Some people... Exactly. You want to see that... Mayhem, yeah.
And honestly, if you do that, it's like the ghost face in that case has to be Ethan and get arrested, like revealed, and we're like, oh shit, it was Ethan. And it's like, okay, great, well we got him. And then the surprise of the other two and the connect, you know what I mean? Like that, like
yeah, there's still two, there's three. Yeah. Yeah.
And to me that's cool because this is the first movie again. This movie did a lot of firsts. Like, it's three now. It's three of them.
Yeah.
First one with three.
And it's like, to me, it's like, you needed to see Ghostface out here just swinging and just like...
It didn't bother me that people weren't... I mean, I, of course, were like, people was thinking people would come, but I was like, I felt like I got it as an idea. Like, yes, it's so crowded that no one sees this, you know? The thing I actually struggled with, and this was something I talked about earlier, was like, he puts his hand around, or she, rather, puts her hand around her mouth and stabs her, and we are literally seeing, in my mind, a white man, is what my thought was, silencing a black woman as he takes her life. And it was like, I couldn't help but think about specifically that he was covering her mouth and she couldn't speak. Like, I was like, I don't like this. Like, I don't like what I'm seeing. It's not even like popcorn fun or scary. It's like, well, gross to me, yeah. You know?
I will say, out of all of these stabbings that people survive, this is the one that if there were no other ones and it was just this one, this is the only one that makes sense. Because there's a reason why she didn't finish her off, because she can't draw too much attention to herself. She stabbed her once. She probably, you know, and it's like possible that where she stabbed her wasn't that bad. And she would have got immediate medical attention because she's on a crowded subway in New York City and would have immediately got medical attention. That makes sense. Every single other one does not make sense.
Gail wasn't too bad. She got stabbed like in her shoulder and in her thigh, right? Wasn't that it?
Also, my thing at that point,
I thought it was
just
her shoulder and her thigh, no?
No, she got in the stomach too.
She got a stomach.
Because he got on the stomach. Okay. He got in his. But my thing about Gail is
right.
Gail
with the. Oh yeah, no, that's her liver and all of her. Yeah, yeah. Gail's gone.
She also literally passed out.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, if you're gonna have Gail fight that hard, it's like she even needs to like die in this scene, or she needs to win this scene, bro. It's like, because Gail was out here whooping at. First off, these are probably like, I will say, they had that random black dude. I didn't like her making fun of, like, I guess the muscles didn't work. I was like, this nigga ain't even have a name. One, I didn't like that. But when dude came, the ghost face did the little ghost face move and came bursting through the, like, I don't know what the other room was. Like, this motherfucker's massive. I got to cut to the end. I'm sorry. We can do everything.
I want to know what the scene that James.
Oh, yeah.
Right, go ahead. Cut to the intro.
No, is it the scene? Is it the scene?
Let's talk about the end. Cut to the end.
Okay, okay. No, no. It's just it's got to be Cuba Gooding Son. Like literally at one point. Okay, I'm gonna get there. Look, as a person who said they like this movie, when this scene happens again, I am cheering because I'm like, oh snap! And we done played up this little love triangle. I mean, this little not love triangle, love story between like Jenna Ortega and Cuba Gooding Son. I need to know his name. I'm so sorry. Mason Gooding?
Chad. Oh, cute man, Mason. I thought your thing is
his name is Mason.
Chad. His name is Mason.
But they play up this love story, and when he like defends them, he is whipping ass. And I'm like, he's dodging shit. He got muscles. And I'm like, this is what the black dude's gonna do in this scene. And then when he got stabbed by the other one, I literally was like, I turned to Rachel, like, oh shit, it's two Ghostface in one scene. And they're going to town on my man, bro. And he's just sitting there just coughing it up. And I'm like,
he's literally like, go as yeah, he's kidding.
Gargling.
Stab.
But
stab,
also
stab,
I was like, this stab, is hella stab, aggressive stab. For no reason. Like, you ain't gotta kill this black dude like this, but at least they're making sure he's dead.
Thank you, Jarrah. That's what I was like, man, they are making sure we all know this dude ain't coming back, because the way that he's getting stabbed is, I'm gonna make sure this dude is for sure dead.
So let me just say, I feel like Dewey has taken hits like this before. I really do. Not that many, but it was like, but in the end, I was just like, whatever. This was the moment where, because you have to remember, in my mind, we just saw a black woman silenced and stabbed on the subway, and I'm already like. And the egregious death for me was Anika falling from the her getting the abdomen shot, the twist. She's coughing up so much blood.
Up the and gut. Then they fucking, how did she even make it to
exactly,
the ladder?
Exactly. No, exactly.
She was dead anyway.
Exactly. I thought that she was like staying behind because she was fucking dead and she knew she was dead. But no, instead, sorry. I was talking about the moment I was about to walk out. But instead, what they did was, she actually has a crippling fear of heights. And the thought of walking across the fucking thing is all that scary enough. She's being chased by a fucking ghost. Then she's screaming over and over how she doesn't want to die. Falls. We see her head smash into the garbage can. And then she collapsed. I was like, you know what? Maybe scream isn't for me anymore. That was my thought. And then. While I'm in my head about Mindy, they fucking kill Mason. And I was like, I almost said, fuck you, out loud, and walked out of the movie. That was almost what I did. And I'm glad I didn't, because then they placated me with the Core 4 shit. They placated me. And then I was like, well, if you're going to do that, then what is this? What is this movie franchise? What are we watching?
Also, even before we got to that point, I was so confused. Like, now, I am so confused by how they treated the sisters. Because now, I'm like, you know, Jenna Ortega the whole time was like, I don't want this to follow me. I don't want to be this type of person. Like, I'm not even Billy's daughter. You know what I mean? So, like, the whole movie, we're hearing this. But then towards the end of the movie, I'm like, so also, does she have a bloodlust just like Sam? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, is she, like, at one point.
I like that moment they gave her that look. I was like, okay.
But James, what is that look? Like again, I was here for it, but like, what? Why? You were nervous before when she was just looking at the costume for too long. Now you're like, fuck them.
Seven, baby.
And this is my thing. If they're setting it up that these two women, all right, at one point become the two killers in these movies, I will be like, you know what? I have never seen this happen with a final girl, or even a type of horror movie where like the people being chased.
It only works in my opinion, if there are two options. One was, and a thing that I kept thinking throughout this, I was like, well, maybe Sam had a break and like an actual split personality of hers is going around killing a bunch of people. You know, like she, like those times when it's a killer and she's not, but she was always there. They never got close to that. But that was something that there was two times when she's not there. One is the therapist, and the other is the beginning with the therapist and then the opening.
Oh, with the other killers. Yeah.
Yeah, with the other killer. But you know what I mean? But it was those are the only times that she's not there. So that's one. So like that literally throughout the movie, we don't know what's happening, but she is also committing the murders. And then the other one is like the two of them like Dexter it or something. Like they like just go after.
So that's what
and
I was
we
thinking.
Just know that from the beginning.
Yeah, I was thinking it could be like, oh, maybe they in turn go after like certain people who did the family wrong. Cause they started pulling a Vin Diesel being like, you messed with my family. And I'm like, all right, okay.
Oh, by the way, he did say that police officer at some point was like, oh, I've lost both of my children. And I was like, who's both?
Yeah, yeah. He said, my son. He even said my son. And I was mad because when the daughter died, part of me was like, when the daughter first died, part of me was like, well, could that have been faked? And then I was like, and then I immediately thought, no, I guess maybe the cop could have hated his daughter. That was a literal thought I had after that scene. And then I went away with it. And it never.
How did they fake that, by the way?
Exactly. Especially with open windows.
Technically, we only saw that killing from the phone. But
wouldn't the guy have seen that though? Because he was watching.
She had a blood mark on her, like as if he slit her throat.
Oh, because I felt like we didn't get a good look at her. I felt like she came out and she was all bloodied, but then she just fell.
They would have had to turn their backs and then like do some quick like.
or my thing is like, yeah.
And also they didn't check her. By the way, how did he get?
Because he threw her and then because he was a
I
friend
guess she
too.
Got yeah, she
and
got
she hit all the knives. I mean, my thing is, it was so funny about it is I knew immediately because they did this in the last one, yo.
You knew immediately it was her.
Well, not her. So she's the one I didn't know. I knew immediately it was the boy and I knew it was the cop.
Yeah,
because the cop I was like, I don't like this.
Yeah,
cop.
The cop I was very suspicious.
No, the cop was I mean, again, they did a really great job of having her die and that being the way that you get thrown off the cops. Sent because I was kind of like, man, he killed his daughter.
Same. But then I was like, I know this actor; he's not this bad. And I was like, this crying looks real bad.
But then why do we see Ethan run to? Why do we see Ethan run to Mindy's aid? Why is that in the movie? Why does
Ethan? Which one's Ethan?
Ethan is the white boy who is. Why do we see him do that? Why is that in the?
I think he's keeping up appearances.
So because he's trying to, yeah, get. But you're right in the sense that they're about to reveal it. They're about to reveal it. So why? You're right. That's true. You're right.
Yeah.
Because I think she was texting them the whole time. So I think like if he wouldn't have, she probably would have got one last text. Is Ethan, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, actually, no, never mind. Because they did the reveal, but they intended to kill them and blame it all on Hayden Panettiere's character.
Right. Like the reveal
for her character was obviously a decoy. it was like she comes out of nowhere. Just like FBI.
It truly
I was
would
like,
never be her. And they kept
thinking it was going to be her.
Yeah, it's Kirby, you guys.
Because you can't be. And I was like, that was out of nowhere. At the end, it's like, she gives a weirdy, weird look. And then it's like, it's her. She got fired. I was like, no, it's this white dude.
I was also mad when he was like, yeah, I just found out she was fired from the FBI. I'm like, it took you this long to find out? I was so mad. And then I was like, oh, it's him. Okay, that explains it. But I was like, if that was the real explanation.
Out of everything, because Bray, I agree with you, like a lot of scenes didn't end well, but I did like the staging of this end. Because at one point I was like, how are y'all about to get out of this? I was like, you know, of course, I'm like, Kirby could come back up and shoot somebody. I'm like, but to get to that point, y'all have to survive being surrounded at this moment. And I'm like, what happens here? So them getting out, and I do like the fight. I do like the fact that like they are fighters.
My man gets stabbed in the throat and then still.
Bro, it makes no sense. You got to double tap, baby. You got to double
also,
tap.
Also, Jenna gets stabbed again in the stomach, and literally at the end of the scene, she's not acting as if she was stabbed.
Adrenaline,
in the stomach.
Baby, adrenaline.
Yeah, but also I'm like, she couldn't drop.
But adrenaline's over. They're all dead now, and she's like sitting down, like, well, we survived another night of horror. I was like, you're literally bleeding
another
out right
tough
now.
Couple of days for us.
I'm not gonna lie, we were watching, and when the sister comes, the twin comes running, and we're like, how is this woman running? And she just got stabbed, and she goes, they gave me so many drugs. I'm like, okay, thank you, because you acting hella regular.
Yeah,
for like a person who got stabbed. The brother, I need to know, bro. I need to know science. We should have had a doctor come on the show. Because I don't understand. Let me see, how does he survive? I gotta Google
not it. Only wait, time out. Not only was he alive, but he was alive and he was having a conversation. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
He is in, at least with Jenna Ortega, at least with the ridiculousness of the first movie, Jenna Ortega was like in the hospital for days. Now it's like only 3 days, but like at least she's in the hospital in like critical condition. This dude is like, woo, you thought I was dead. Nah, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah. They stab your boy 12 times.
But you know, they get me down. You know what I'm saying?
They stab me in the heart. You got to stab me in the head, okay? Because I'm a zombie and only a headshot works.
Bro, it was insane.
I was glad he was alive. This made me mad too, though, that I was so mad after they stabbed him. But then I found myself thrilled at both of them doing the knife thing at the same time. It was immediately fine. I was just so mad that like my nostalgia was that it was that powerful, you know. The nostalgia was that like powerful that I could go from wanting to walk out to literally like being tickled by Ghostface cleaning a knife.
Bro, I love the cleaning knife. This is my thing. Again, I don't know where they're going. They had her staring at the mask.
And then the TV, oh, and written and directed by Richie on the board as on the thing as they walk out. Like, I was like, there was too much about the ending that I was like, this feels fun. That made me go, I hate you. Like, I hate this.
I like it. And also, I'm one of those weird people though. Who think.
That's a weird thing.
James is very particular about specific things.
It makes me feel like you wouldn't be happy. It doesn't matter what they do, that you just won't be happy.
Well, again, I didn't think I was going to like Scream 5, right? So I was already going in with a hang up. And I just feel like this is a movie that literally says like, and these are the rules. And so if you're going to tell me that there are rules, you know, and it's a series that like that is what was fun about it, was that like, these are the rules and, you know, and we're doing this and we're going to see how the rules change and they adapt and blah, blah, blah. And like, for it to be like, actually everything I said, we're doing the old thing again. It's like, well then I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that. I mean, you know, it's tricky. Cause I'm also like, you know, again, this movie's tough. Like, the end is weird. I actually stayed for that post-credit scene, which just, like, not every movie needs a post-credit scene.
Oh, what is it?
It's just when the twin is given, Jasmine's given the rules. She screams, not every movie needs a post-credit scene. And that's the post-credit scene. But again, you know, the movie made a lot of money. At the end of the day, I'm going to be real. End of the day, like, the core four are two women of, I think Jenna's Puerto Rican and what a nationality. Well, basically two Latinas and then two black folks. So I'm like, you know, it's diverse. The first killer was an Indian dude, which I don't think there's been a killer outside of white folks in any of these movies. Soon it's going to be a brother. Watch, it's going to be a black dude. Like, once you see, the thing is, I'm going to know as a black dude if Ghostface starts like, way, well, fucking, yeah. It's all going to start like,
It's just a like, scary movie. Like, it's just... Yeah.
If I could just smooth sliding out the way, I'm like, nah, this nigga too fluid. He's too fluid. That's Jerome. Jerome the killer. Yeah, Jerome. Jerome, man. I do.
You should watch the series. It's fun. I mean, it's not...
The second one or the first one? The one with the black people or the one that wasn't
with the black people? The third, I think it's season three of the...
That's Kiki Palmer and RJ, right?
Yes. Yeah. They don't do a super great job of being like, of having it be like a whodunit. You sort of like, you kind of know. but it is, it's still fun. It's like six, eight episodes. Black, you get a black ghost face. I mean, they're all black, but but you get a black, you know, you finally get a black.
Yeah, well, that was that.
Yep, that's it. I don't think I have anything else to say.
Neither do I. I ain't got nothing.
I just, you know, it's like, I love references, but it's also like, I don't need more reboots anymore. I don't need reboots. I don't need requels. I don't need, like, I want to see.
James, this is where we live, bro. This I don't even know. This all life is. This is all life, James.
Something new. I would love to see something new. That'd be really cool.
You want a new idea?
She screamed, I don't want to die, as she plummeted to her death.
Yep, you're not wrong.
And the reason she didn't go across was not because she was trying to save Mindy and she knew she was going to die anyway. It's because she was afraid to walk across the ladder.
Yes, that is true. Well,
torture. We watched that woman be tortured to death.
Great. Anything else you want to say?
Did only one white person die in this whole movie before the killers? No, because we saw Homeboy kill some.
Well, technically, it was the one. If you take the beginning, it was two in the beginning.
Everybody in the bodega also. Everybody in the bodega.
Three white people in the bodega.
Okay, it's fine. But they weren't those people weren't characters, though.
Yes, you're right. Listen, you ain't wrong. Well, this got depressing. How we close this out before I run out of here?
I mean, obviously, this movie deserves I'm just going to jump to my cause.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Obviously, this movie deserves a fist.
Wait.
I mean, it just does, and it's unfortunate that it does.
Wow.
James, just depressingly.
Yeah, I thought you were gonna do a bit.
A bit. I did. Sorry.
I'm not doing a bit.
It's time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we like them, but whether or not they help the cause of leading Black actors or actors of color in Hollywood. So if it fully helps the cause, we give it a black fist. If it somewhat helps the cause, we give it a white palm. If it didn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. All right, on the count of three, we'll raise our ratings for Scream 6. And a one, and a two, and a three.
Three black fists. I mean, I think I agree with what James said. It's like, it deserves a black fist. It was fun. It made a lot of money. The core four are people of color. Cool. You get all like, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's that.
Yeah, I gave it a black fist. There's there's a lot of people of color. Three white people are the bad guys. Just kidding. You know, we'll get another one with the core four, that's for sure. But, you know, it's okay if they die too.
Truly, they can die.
Listen to your own rules.
Listen to your own rules.
To be fair, Scream 3 also does that, and the only person that dies is Cotton. You know, Scream 3 is like, Sid, you can die in this one, you know, and then she doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. You know.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. We have links to merchandise like t-shirts, pillows, and stickers. We also have funked Patreon. But you know what? Maybe we're going to start doing Patreon very soon. Who knows? $5 a month. Listen to a year's worth of episodes on Patreon. And if you rate and review us on iTunes and give us 5 stars, we'll read your review on the air. This one is from Mr. I Got It. And he says, I'm disappointed still, LOL.
Uh-oh.
He said, how in the world do you review Harriet and Red Tails, trash movies, and still haven't reviewed Tuskegee Airmen? Of course, we're reading this after we have now reviewed Tuskegee Airmen. But he said, I've been asking for 2 years since y'all reviewed Swirl, Love, Red Tails, shaking my head. It's Black History Month and y'all got 2 weeks left. I hope to finally hear a review of it. Love the pod. Been listening since the beginning. All right. Well, I'm so glad we read this review after we reviewed it and not before, because we might have not reviewed it in spite.
Yeah. But it's also very funny that the plan was for us to get it in the last couple of weeks. That's why we did it. Because we were like, oh, Black History Month. Right. There's just a few more weeks left. Let's do Tuskegee Airmen. And literally one of the reviews is, you got 2 weeks left.
You got 2 weeks left.
That's very funny.
And you can follow me at John Braylock.
You can follow me at Rule of Three Inc. on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, ruleofthreeinc.com. 3 is the number 3. I have comic books and stuff coming out. It's going to be fun. Check it out.
And we might have a Black in the Movie show in April, but it won't be on our regular time slot most likely. So just stay tuned for that. You can look on our website for the show date. We'll put it up when it's available. All right. See you next week. Peace.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, produced by Melissa D. Montz. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!